You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Here are the numbers, 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. We have on the line now Rachel Thompson. She speaks for a group called the Central Bruce Gray Wind Concerns, one of many local groups concerned about wind turbines clear across Ontario. Rachel, thanks very much for being here on Zoomer Radio.
Thank you, Dale. We really appreciate the attention that you're giving to this issue.
Well, that you bring up an interesting point. It doesn't seem to me that many news organizations are paying much attention to these kinds of things at all. What's going on in your mind, do you think?
I'd have to say over the last 6 years that we've been pursuing this, that we're noticing the tide is turning, and we've been receiving some support recently, like really I speak of, you know, 2012, from the likes of the CBC through Dave Steglins giving this some attention. So
yeah, but that's a little dribble and a little drab here and there. It isn't exactly been taken up very enthusiastically.
No, and considering the full impact that this is having across rural Ontario, it really, you know, does appear to the people who are being impacted as a drop in the bucket. But
yeah, it looks that way to me too, I'd have to say. But now listen, let's talk about the situation facing the people in the Kincardine area. I added up there are directly affected 20 families and another 12 families who may be affected but don't really want to consider themselves part of the group that are complaining right at the moment. That's a considerable number of people, 32 families.
Yeah, it amounts to about just over 30% of the people who, just over 10% of the people who are living within the Enbridge project area. So there's 21 families, so this represents, you know, that's more than one person per household, who are consider themselves members of the health affected residents meetings. And then being as it's a small community, we're well aware that there are other people who had problems. They chose to remain silent. They're very aware that their greatest financial asset is the home, and they managed to sell and move away.
Oh, so they're being silent so they can essentially escape from the area.
Yeah, many, many people feel so trapped. And in particular, we have people who have retired, who are living on severed properties, who planned to enjoy the golden years on a, you know, beautiful little homestead they created.
Yeah.
And now, what can they do? They can't sell. In good conscience, they don't want to pass on their problems to, you know, some unsuspecting victim. And there's also the implications that they could be sued if they were not to disclose to a new potential owner. So they feel trapped.
Once again, though, all the problems shift onto the shoulders of the homeowner of those who were affected by the turbines.
Exactly.
What this whole issue went to the local council a couple of days ago. We had Jane Wilson on talking briefly about that. I wanted to hear more directly from you as to the reception you got at council. It seemed to me that it was fairly positive, and council is in the main on your side. Is that the way you feel?
Yeah, we are so grateful that our council are giving us support. We submitted 10 recommendations that could be adopted into resolutions. And as Jane mentioned on your show last Thursday, before we'd even given a delegation, our council voted in a majority, 6-4-2 against, that Kincardine does recognise that the health and well-being of some residents are being affected by the Enbridge turbine. So that was a huge step forward to us. And they also acknowledged that at this week's council meeting, they will be going over our other 10 recommendations. And as Ken Craig pointed out, he told me on the night, I've got 7 check marks beside 10 of your recommendations. He thought 7 of them looked good.
But really what, and it's great to, because a number of local municipalities in Ontario, I think, are on side with the fact that these health effects do exist. But what really can the local council do?
Well, I think it comes back to who we're dealing with here, with Enbridge. And I mean, Enbridge actually stated on November the 7th, the same day as my delegation, that, I quote, "It's our first priority is to focus on the safety, reliability and environmental sustainability of our systems. We're committed to achieving industry leadership in all of these areas." That was from Al Monaco.
Yeah.
And so really the main tool that Kincardine's got now is to make Enbridge accountable for the damage that they are causing in our municipality.
Well,
and so we're really hoping that further dialogue with higher ups within the incorporation of Enbridge start to get us some of the results that we need.
Has your group had any success in dealing with Enbridge? I mean,
to the table. We've had two meetings with them, and in the delegation document that we submitted last week, we have sort of, you know, notes from those meetings, which it's interesting to see. I mean, really, we're frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling us on the one hand that they want to be good neighbors and they want to help us out, but I'm sorry, after over 3 years of letting them know, you know, the living hell that people are going through, the torture that they're experiencing on a daily basis, Enbridge have yet to satisfy us.
Are some of the people going through this torture people who actually have a wind turbine or two on their land, or is that the situation there?
Well, we're aware that there are some people who've signed up for turbines who are experiencing health effects, but they've signed gag clauses. They cannot come forth and speak to us about their problems.
But what can they do then? They're in a terrible bind. If they can't do anything about it, they've signed the binding agreement, they've agreed to the gag order, and yet the wind turbine closest to their home is probably giving them problems.
Yeah, because we know that there are 53 homes in the Enbridge project that have turbines closer than 550 meters to them. If you signed up for a turbine, you're a second-class citizen. You don't have the same protections afforded to other citizens. They can put the turbines 350 meters to your home.
And in 53 cases, that's the situation, 350 meters from home.
Is that
what you're saying?
We can definitely say it's under 550.
Certainly
example,
under the...
I know Norma Schmidt has called in to your radio station before.
Yes, she has.
She's a non-participant. She didn't want these turbines. She has one 453 meters to her home.
Yeah. But, of course, if you look at some of the recent reports, especially the one out about a week ago, that peer-reviewed report that said, in essence, half of the people living within 1.2 kilometers of a wind turbine can still be suffering from negative health effects. It makes the 550-meter thing look ridiculous.
It does. That was amazing to have that report come out. And there's been some fantastic reports come out this year. And I think where the science is going now, with the people who aren't burying their heads in the sand and, you know, sort of being in denial because they're chasing these profits, is we're well aware that it's the low-frequency noise pressure waves that are really impacting people's health. And as we went through the case studies and gathering the information of what's happening here in Kincardine, there's a repetition going on right around the world. Maybe you can hear I have an accent. I'm from New Zealand. I know people in New Zealand who are suffering the same kind of health impacts.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that New Zealand accent. Yes, I did.
There's people in Australia, too, who are in the same position. There's people in the UK and Germany. I received an email yesterday from someone in Norway. I mean, this is a worldwide issue. And where we're looking at the cutting-edge science is that this low-frequency noise is actually a pressure wave that is experienced by the body. It's not so much the noise you're hearing in your ear.
Well, in fact, you can't hear it in many cases.
No, but your body has hundreds of pressure sensors all throughout the body, within your organs, within your tissue, your nerves. And so the question is, what are these pressure waves doing to the human body? And there's people like Dr. Alex Salt who are saying long-term exposure to low-frequency noise could have some really bad long-term effects.
Well, long-term as well as short-term, sleeplessness leading to depression, leading to high blood pressure. These are complaints commonly heard for any people who might be too close to a wind turbine.
Yeah.
These are pretty typical by now, I think.
They are. And I think the scary thing to me is, because I I know a lot of these people. I'm one of the co-facilitators of these harm meetings. And when so many people tell you, and I think even the doctors here are starting to sort of perk up to this, when so many people say, I'm experiencing a horrible, repetitive, vibrating, pulsing sensation that like I'm feeling throughout my entire body, but in the head, skull, and chest. When so many people tell you they've got this common anecdotal ailment, I think it sends a bit of a light bulb off in the medical community. And we are so grateful to have the support of Dr. Hazel Lynn. She's our medical officer of health here in Grey Bruce. And we gave her a delegation on September the 21st, and she made some pretty strong comments throughout the delegation, then afterwards with the media. But she has stated that she believes the concerns presented by the residents in the Enbridge project are absolutely legitimate.
Well, she's been saying that for some time, regardless of the fact the Ontario government has taken no notice at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think she's going to be very helpful in the future.
Yeah. Have you experienced any of these symptoms yourself by visiting people or being close to the sites? Have you noticed anything yourself?
Yeah. Are you familiar with Ernie Marshall? He was one of the first people. He was just north of Goderich. He had to move out of his home. My husband and I spent a lot of time before the Enbridge project went up trying to familiarize ourselves with what was really going on with wind turbines. So we'd spent about 4.5 hours down at Ernie Marshall's house, and I noticed the most unusual headache, a sensation I've never felt before in the front of my forehead. And neither my husband or myself ever get migraines. We're not, you know, we don't have any sort of health conditions like that. And I said to Ernie, I've got this funny feeling in my head right now. It's this horrible sort of pressure, like a buildup of pressure going on inside my head, and it's actually hurting. It's painful.
Yeah.
And he was so relieved to hear that we could feel this, and my husband felt it too. And it was so sad because about 40 minutes after that, we were leaving Ernie's house. It was dark, and I turned around and looked at the red flashing lights as we drove away and just thought, wow, I felt the feeling lift. I felt so much better. It was gone so instantly as we removed ourselves from the turbines. But my heart went out to Ernie Marshall because he was there that night. That was his home.
Well, Ernie, I'm sure, felt wonderful in a relative sense, because you were feeling it too. It was confirmation. It wasn't in his head. He wasn't crazy.
And actually, you're hitting on a really important point here, because we're hearing this time and time again with the people in the Enbridge project who are experiencing problems. Some of these people thought they were going insane.
Yeah.
They'd been getting checked out by the doctors. They were getting no answers. Like, they didn't know why they were getting these incredible earaches that caused them such pain that it was beyond the ear. It was stretching out into their skull. Or one woman had an impacted ear and went deaf over the weekend, but the doctors said to her, there's no infection. We can't tell what's wrong with you. We can't medicate you. And, you know, in worse conditions. So I think it does bring some relief to people that they're not alone and that they're not going insane. These are real physiological, serious, serious health problems.
Rachel, if we can look ahead a little and be as positive and proactive as possible, what needs to happen? Enbridge needs to buy out some of these homes that are too close. Is that not the simple solution?
You know, the sad thing is, some of these people, I mean, it's a bit like the land clearances in the Highlands.
Yeah.
Not everybody is prepared to move away from the beautiful homestead that they've created.
Right.
And yes, in an emergency situation where you need to protect your house, perhaps you don't want to sacrifice years off your life. Maybe you do just need to relocate. And I think that was the driving force behind what Bill Palmer was bringing forward in his delegation. By declaring a state of emergency, the real message there was, we've got sick people who need to be relocated. And I'm not holding my breath on Enbridge helping us out instantly in the time frames in which we need these people helped. But this is where the municipality could consider to help these people out, even if it was relief for 2 months, to get them out of these homes and to see if they can start feeling better. We know that there are people who are paying a mortgage, they can't afford to go and also rent a place and can kind of get away from them. So I think we need some short-term immediate relief.
And there'd only be one buyer, Enbridge. Nobody would actually buy a home that's close to these wind turbines.
No, I know, and I think I've heard Julian Faulkner pose the same question to you on your radio. Would you buy these people's homes? I mean, it's a toxic home. Would you move your young children into a home and expose them to these?
Exactly. Rachel Thompson is my guest. She's from the Central Bruce Gray Wind Concerns Group, worried about 115 wind turbines in the North Kincardine area.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
I'm talking to Rachel Thompson from the Central Bruce Gray Wind Concerns Group, worried about wind turbines in the Kincardine area. Rachel, I note that the 115 wind turbines owned by Enbridge are in fact only the beginning of wind turbine development in that same area, are they not?
You've seen our map of the municipality, haven't you?
Yes, I have. And I see... a future wind farm that will be built up just south of the Enbridge farm. Is that about right?
Yes, that's the Armo Wind Project that Samsung and Paddon actually had their second open house for last night. These turbines, there's 99 of them, but they're 100 feet taller than the Enbridge project. They're 2.3 megawatt turbines. And they're trying to get them very close to homes. They've told us they're derating some of them, which is just a trick of the software, down to 1.8, just so they can squeeze them in even tighter.
Well, that's kind of like a computer exercise. That doesn't do anything to change.
Yeah, I mean, what checks and balances? I mean, are we supposed to trust them that they're going to run them at 1.8? I mean, what's the difference? They're 2.3 megawatt turbines. They're nearly 500 feet tall.
So we're
this
saying
is an industrial project.
So then you're saying that with these, when those turbines are up and operating, it'll be even worse for even more families. In fact, the effect of those turbines might be more profound than the effect of the Enbridge turbines. There are more people in that area?
There are more people. Mm. There are more people living on severed properties. It's a much higher densely populated rural area. And so larger turbines, more people. It's a recipe for disaster. And so, you know, when you think about it, the provincial government, their role is to protect human health. They're ignoring us. Yeah. We've comprehensively educated the MOE, the Ministry of Health. And when you think about the problems that we're experiencing with the Enbridge project, that we've done our best to document, we're just scratching our heads going, how could they, in good conscience, approve the Armo project and let it go ahead?
Well, does it not leave you and others in your organization and other people in the area somewhat frustrated because it doesn't look like, and I don't want to be too negatively loaded here, but it doesn't look like a heck of a lot of progress is being made to protect people?
It's a really scary predicament that many people in the Armo Project area are finding themselves in. Like, you know, what can they do? But I think where our faith is lying right now is the municipal government, our third tier of government, actually have a key part to play in this. And so we've got some interesting dialogue going on with the municipality right now, and there's been many alarm bells set off for them. And I have a lot of hope and faith that our great council is going to go to bat for us and champion our cause.
Well, you can never give up this fight, that's for certain.
Yeah, right. I agree. And many people hold that sentiment, too.
All right, here is Harold on the line calling from Waterford. Harold, do you have a comment or a question?
Yeah, I'd just like to say it seems to me that if you can't convince Deb Matthews, who's a doctor, that there's problems with health on your people that are around these wind turbines, then I don't think you'll be able to convince the government themselves that they're having problems. And they've probably signed contracts worth billions of dollars to erect 600 or 900, and the penalties are so great, much like the gas turbines, that they can't back out of this deal.
Who can't back out? Well,
the government.
Well, neither can the people who sign the contracts to have wind turbines put on their property. They're pretty shall we say, strenuous contracts.
Absolutely
as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think you have two problems. One is Deb Matthews, who refuses to look at the scientific evidence and acknowledge that it's causing a problem, and the government, who's already signed contracts with the wind turbines to erect so many.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, that's just my thought.
Yeah, no, Harold, thanks for your call. You're absolutely right. And have you attempted to approach Deb Matthews at all, Rachel?
Deb Matthews has been sent our report. You know, Harold does raise a good point, but I am a very optimistic person, and I know that Hazel Lynn is working quietly behind the scenes. There are nervous discussions going on right now. The Drennans have put fantastic pressure on Dr. Arlene King, who's falling back on an inadequate 2009 literature review.
Yeah.
I think that they're shaking in their boots. I think they're very nervous. They realize the trouble they're in. And there really is a fantastic opportunity. If the Liberals wanted to save themselves right now, you know, they've got their little leadership convention going on, they could easily turn around right now and tell Canweir, the lobbyist organization that is really responsible, along with George Smitherman, for these 2 months, they could tell Canweir, you know what, you never told us about the low-frequency noise.
Yeah.
You didn't tell us about the full effects of the harm that these turbines could create.
Well, even if they knew at the time. I don't know if I can be that sinister. Maybe they just didn't know. More likely with government, it's just that they don't know what's going on.
But they do now.
Yeah, well, they certainly do now.
Turn around and say,
yeah,
you know what, we're canceling the contracts.
Yeah.
You're not worth a cent we offered to pay you. Good riddance. See us in court.
Well, when I asked one of the leadership candidates, Kathleen Wynne, about wind turbine issues, and she kind of sloughed me off. But as we have them all on the radio, I'll continue to ask them what, if anything, they would do if they were faced with a situation that people in your area have to live with day by day. There's got to be a way to fix this.
Well, look, we did send Kathleen Wynne. We've sent all the Liberal candidates our document that we shared with you.
Yeah.
So they have those 20 case studies and the full background on Enbridge in front of them, and it's definitely in their interest to distance themselves from McGuinty and George Smitherman and to turn over a new leaf and do the right things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's their mandate is to protect human health in this province.
Well, I think what I'm going to do is take my microphone and in some day convenient to you, head up to Kincardine, and maybe I can get a close-hand look at some of these things and how people are being affected.
Oh, we'd love you to come up.
Is that okay by you?
Yeah. No,
I just think we need more and more people talking about what it's like. And a number of people from your area have, a number of people from other areas, but we have to keep talking about it so that we can drill this information into the heads of decision makers who can change things, you know?
Yeah, and it's about letting them know we're not going anywhere. You know, you damage someone's health, that's one thing. You take away people's primary financial asset, their home.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable that McGuinty thought he could get away with this. The audacity, the ignorance behind his decision-making, it really leaves a lot of people scratching their heads. To think that he thought that he could get away with this, it's such a mistake.
Rachel, thanks very much for talking to us today about it. I'll see you soon.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that's Rachel Thompson from one of the Wind Concerns group, this one called the Central Bruce Gray Wind Concerns, worried about 115 turbines operating there now, worried about an additional 99 bigger wind turbines, 100 feet taller than the ones that are there now, if you can believe it, and much closer to many more families than the turbines that were erected by Enbridge. So we'll keep you updated on that information and that fight.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.